I want to take a little phrase from the verse 9 of this chapter that we have read. Moses is communicating to the children of Israel, and he says to them, "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." The faithful God. The Bible is God's self-revelation, the revelation of Himself to mankind. There are certain characteristics of God made known to us in and by and through His created works. The universe round about us reveals something of God's power and God's wisdom. The survey of the heavens and the earth ought to leave us feeling overwhelmed by the greatness of the One who made it all. You cannot fail to be amazed by the vastness of this creation round about us. So vast that the human eye cannot reach its outer limits. And when we begin to contemplate the vastness of this creation, it reveals to us the greatness, the majesty, the power, and the wisdom of the One who made it all. But only when we open the Scriptures are we given a clearer and a greater understanding of the being and the nature of God. The Bible is a unique book, and every time we open the Bible, we should always consider it to be so. This book is unique. There is nothing else, there is no other book in the world like unto the Bible. The Bible is unique. It's not just a book about events and happenings and people. It is primarily a book about God. It is a book in which God reveals Himself to the world. It's one thing to learn about a person from what others will say about that person, but it's always going to be much more substantial and much more meaningful and much clearer to learn from the person himself. When that person comes to you and says, "This is who I am, this is what I like, this is what I dislike, this is what I am." God in His Word, the Bible, says to us, "This is who I am." When you look at verse 9 of this chapter, we find one such illustration of God revealing Himself to us. Moses says, under divine inspiration, "This is something that you should know." God wants you to know something about Himself. "Know therefore that the Lord thy God, He is God, the faithful God." The faithful God. I say that there are things we can learn about God and His works, but there are many things that we cannot learn about God from His works. It is only in His Word, the Bible, that we find that deeper, clearer understanding and revelation of Himself. This is who He is. This is what God is. God reveals Himself in the Bible as the faithful God. Faithfulness is one of the essential perfections of God's being. It is what makes Him God. Without this, without faithfulness, He would not be God. He could not be God. The Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 13, "If we believe not, yet He abideth faithful, He cannot deny Himself. Even though men do not believe, their unbelief does not in any way change who God is or what God has said about himself. He abideth faithful. He cannot deny himself. He cannot be otherwise than what he is as the eternal God. He cannot do anything. He cannot say anything. He cannot act anything contrary or opposite to his nature. It is impossible for God to be unfaithful. Impossible. He is faithful to his perfection. He is the perfect God. God is perfect. He's perfect in all his attributes, in all his characteristics. And because he is faithful, it means that he must be true to his own nature, to his own essential perfection. He cannot do anything that would conflict with his nature, with who he is. He's faithful to his own perfections. Remember the shorter catechism when it says, what is God? God is a spirit, infinite, eternal, and unchangeable. In his wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. That's a powerful statement. The first part of that statement sets before us attributes that cannot be communicated, attributes that cannot be found in any of God's creatures. God alone is infinite. God alone is eternal. God alone is unchangeable. But the second part of the statement refers to those attributes of God which are reflected to some degree in his creatures. Wisdom, power, holiness, justice, goodness, and truth. And when we think about those attributes, we must remember that God is faithful to himself, to his own being, to his own nature. The Bible says that God is good. He cannot do anything else that contradicts his own nature as being good. Cannot do that which is evil. God is just. And therefore, because he is faithful to his own being and his own nature, he cannot do anything that is unjust. When we think of the last great judgment day, when all men will stand before God and receive sentence from their Creator, because he is faithful to himself, to his own nature, his judgment will be true and just. God is truth, and therefore he cannot do anything that is contrary to the truth. God is holy. He cannot do anything that is unholy, because he is faithful. The faithful God. Not only is he faithful to his own perfections, he is faithful to his purpose. What God has purposed, what God has determined to do, he will do it. He's faithful and true to that purpose. He has purposed to redeem a fallen people, a people from the midst of a fallen world, a world that has rebelled against God. And yet before that rebellion commenced, God had already determined, God had already purposed to redeem a people from that fallen humanity. The Lord Jesus is the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. That's the only reason why God allowed the world to carry on after Adam's sin. He would have been just and righteous to have cast Adam and Eve into hell, to have brought an end to this creation. The reason why he allowed them to live and to have sons and daughters, and for their sons and daughters to live right down to this present day, is because God has a purpose that was formed before the foundation of the world to redeem a people out of fallen humanity, a people who shall be to the praise of the glory of his grace. And God will be faithful to that purpose. Nothing can make him his purpose forgo. Nothing can turn him aside from what he has determined to do. He is faithful faithful to his own perfections, faithful to his eternal purpose. But he's also faithful to his own promise. Paul said in Hebrews 10 and verse 23, he is faithful that promised. What God has said will surely come to pass. God is true to his own word. The word of his promise is sure. What he has said, he will do. And therefore, we can rely upon the word that God has spoken, the word that God has promised. God has given us many, many examples in the Bible to strengthen our confidence in this matter. Can I believe what God has said in his word? Can I come to this Bible and actually believe that God will do as he has said? God is faithful. His word is true. Abraham is the great example among many of those examples. He learned to trust the promise of God. God said to him, when he was an old man, that he would have a son. And both he and Sarah were past the age of childbearing. And according to natural generation, it was impossible for them to have a son, but God said, Abraham, you will have a son from your own loins. Sarah will bear you a son. And the day came when Sarah held in her arms her firstborn son and presented him to Abraham. And as Abraham looked upon Isaac, Abraham learned like he had never learned before that day that God is faithful to his promise. That the word of God cannot fail, and what God has said will surely come to pass. Abraham is the great example, but the greatest example of all is witnessed in the birth of Jesus Christ. When the infant Savior lay in the arms of his virgin mother, Mary could say, God is faithful. God is faithful. The promise first spoken, first given in the Garden of Eden to our fallen parents after they had sinned against God. And that promise that had been enlarged upon and unfolded through the passing centuries of time by prophet after prophet, that promise was now fulfilled. The Savior had come. The Son of God had come into this world. God had clothed himself in flesh. And a virgin had conceived and brought forth a son. God is faithful, not only to what he is, his own perfections, the perfections of his nature. God is faithful to his purpose. God is faithful to his promise. What he has said, he will do. What a great truth this is. The Bible is revealing to us something about God. God is saying, this is who I am. This is what I am. I am the faithful God. Why does God reveal himself in this way to us? Why does he desire us to know that he is faithful? Everything that God reveals about himself to us is intended for our instruction and for our benefit. And that is no different with regard to this truth. God has revealed himself. Notice when Moses addressed the Israelites, he said, I want you to know this. Know therefore that the Lord thy God, he is God, the faithful God. This is what you're to know. If somebody stopped you in the street tomorrow and said, tell me about your God. Who is he? What is he like? If somebody were to stop and ask you about God, what would you say to them? Well, you could bring them to this verse. And you could say, the God of heaven, my God, is the faithful God. God wants us to know this. He wants us to know about His faithfulness because of the instruction and the benefit that it imparts to us. Turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10, and you will discover how this truth is applied in the Scriptures. You'll discover in this chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 10, that the truth of God's faithfulness is the comfort for saints. It is the comfort of saints. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse number 13, Paul is listing here the various events in the history of Israel when they came out of the land of Egypt. And he's saying to the New Testament believers that all these things were written for our benefit, for our admonition and instruction. And we've got to be careful. We've got to be diligent. Wherefore, let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. Because as they journeyed through the wilderness, they encountered many trials and many temptations. And along the way, some of them stumbled, and some of them fell. And he says in verse 13, the same is going to happen to you in the New Testament age. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. In other words, because you're a Christian, because you've received Christ, does not mean that you will be exempted from the temptations that are the common lot of mankind. There is no temptation taken you but such as is common to man. But here is your comfort. Here's your comfort in the midst of those temptations. God is faithful. You see how he's applying this now. God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that ye may be able to bear it. The faithfulness of God is the saint's comfort. As we pass through this life, we will face trials and troubles and temptations. We should pray that we will not enter into temptation. You remember the Lord has taught his disciples to pray that, lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Temptation is a very real thing, but it's a very fearful thing. And the Lord has taught us that we should pray that we will not enter into temptation, that we'll not be brought into the place where we are tempted to do what's wrong and tempted to do what's evil in the sight of God. We should pray that we will be preserved from that. But there are times when God in His providence will cause us to face temptation. But the great comfort in the midst of that temptation is the faithfulness of God. God is faithful. And the promise here is that in the midst of that temptation, God will not suffer, God will not allow you, He will not permit you to be tempted above that ye are able. But He will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that you may be able to bear it. This is what God will do to His people, for His people. He's faithful. And there will never be a time, there will never be a moment of temptation when God will not cause His people to have a way of escape. There'll never be such a time when there won't be a way of escape from that temptation. God is faithful. And He's promised to give the strength and the grace that's needed for the child of God to be victorious and triumphant. You can think of times when the saints of God were tempted to renounce their faith. You remember when those wicked rulers persuaded the king to pass a law that nobody could pray to God except to the king for 30 days. Daniel was brought to a time of temptation. But he renounces God in order to obey a wicked law. Daniel realized that his first obedience lay to God, and as a consequence, the law of man came against him, and he was sentenced to the den of lions. What a temptation it was to renounce his God in order to escape that physical suffering that could come in the den of lions. But Daniel found God to be faithful. And when he did what was right, he found that God made a way of escape. And God brought him through. What a comfort it is to know that God will be faithful in delivering his people from every time of temptation. If you turn over to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and the verse 24. Paul shows us here that the faithfulness of God is the comfort of believers, the comfort of saints, not only in the time of temptation, but all the way through life and through death itself, right to the very last day. Verse 23, he says, "And the very God of peace sanctify you wholly. And I pray God, your whole spirit and soul and body be preserved blameless unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ." This is what he's praying for. That they will have a blameless testimony preserved unto that day when Jesus will come again. And then he says, "This is my comfort. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it." God will preserve his people. Not just in one circumstance or in one temptation, but he will preserve his people unto the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He will not just preserve our body. He will preserve our spirit and our soul. Our whole spirit and soul and body in our entirety. He will preserve his people because he's faithful. He will bring every one of his people home to glory. And not one of them will be lost. Because he's faithful to his infinite perfections. He's faithful to his purpose. He's faithful to his promise. He will do as he has said. You don't need to worry, believer, whether you will reach heaven or not. The destiny is reached not on the basis of your faithfulness. The destiny is reached on the basis of God's faithfulness. Faithful is he that calleth you, who also will do it. It's the saints' comfort. The comfort for the people of God. But turn over to 1 Peter chapter 4. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. And here you will find that the doctrine of God's faithfulness is the consolation for the sufferer. Not only the comfort for the saint, but the consolation for the sufferer. 1 Peter 4 and verse number 14. He says to these believers, "If ye be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. On their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters." He's saying here that in the course of life, as we abide faithful to Christ, we will suffer in this world. We will suffer. We will bear reproach for the name of Christ. We will suffer the adversity of a fallen world. And he's saying here now that in such times, our consolation when we face that suffering, when we suffer unjustly, unfairly in this evil world, our consolation is the fact that God is faithful. Verse 19 of the chapter, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Peter's saying God sees everything. There's nothing that happens in this world that escapes his notice. And God sees the injustice. God sees the oppression. God sees when his people are reproached in this world, when they suffer at the hands of evil men because they're Christians, because they have identified with Christ. God sees it. And Peter says, in such times, when we suffer for doing what is right, we've got to commit the keeping of our souls to him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. We've got to commit ourselves, we've got to commit all our circumstances to the Lord, knowing that he is faithful. He's faithful. And he will do what is right. Do you remember what Abraham said? The judge of all the earth doeth right. He's the Creator. And because he is the Creator, he's the judge of all men. And God will judge that which is wrong, that which is unjust and unfair. God will judge it. He's faithful. He cannot let it go by. He cannot ignore it. He will vindicate that which is right, and he will rectify all wrong. And Peter is saying here, this is our consolation. When we suffer for doing what's right, when we suffer because we are Christians. And we're going to see much more of it in a more subtle way. You know, when we think of suffering, we think of those who are beaten to death in different countries. But there are different kinds of suffering. A person who is a Christian. I was reading recently of a justice of the peace. Because he refused to take part in same-sex civil partnership ceremonies, he lost his position, lost his job. Because of his beliefs, because of his conscience, because of his convictions. And we're going to see more and more of this. In a secular society, in an ungodly society, those who stand for Christ and identify with him will be marginalized, will be discriminated against, and they will suffer. But Peter says, this is your consolation. There is a Creator who is faithful. He is faithful to judge that which is wrong, and vindicate that which is right. The faithfulness of God. It is the comfort for saints. It is the consolation for sufferers. But turn over to 1 John chapter 1. And you will discover in the last place that the faithfulness of God is the confidence for sinners. 1 John chapter 1. And the verse number 9, John says here, he's writing in the context to believers, but what he says applies to sinners, to unbelievers. He says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Notice that he's bringing in the doctrine of God's faithfulness, the attribute of God's faithfulness. Remember what Moses wrote all those years ago. This is what you're to know about God. This is who he is. God is revealing himself. He is the God, the faithful God. And because he is faithful, there's comfort for saints. There's consolation for sufferers. But there's confidence for sinners. And the confidence is this. If we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What is the basis of a sinner's hope for receiving pardon? What is the ground for a sinner having confidence when he comes to God that God will blot out his sin and God will receive him favorably and in peace and be reconciled to him? What is the sinner's confidence in coming to God? Is it in the strength of his own repentance, the sincerity of his own repentance? Is it in the strength of his own confession of sin? Is that where he will find his confidence for receiving God's forgiveness? No. The confidence arises from the faithfulness of God. He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. When we come to God and we confess our sins to him, when we take the sinner's place, when we acknowledge before God that we have sinned against him, we're unworthy of his mercy. When we confess our sins to him, the confidence that we have that he will forgive us is his own faithfulness. He's faithful to himself. He's faithful to his purpose. He's faithful to his promise. And what is the promise that God has said? Go away back to the book of Isaiah, chapter 1. The prophecy of Isaiah, chapter 1. In the verse 18 of that chapter, the Lord is speaking. This is the Lord speaking. And he says, "Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." This is what God says he will do. Your sins are scarlet. There's that deep scarlet stain upon your soul that you cannot remove. No matter what you try to do, you cannot wash it away. You cannot get rid of your sin. And God says, this is what I will do for you. Though your sin be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. I will blot them out. Turn over to the chapter 55 of that prophecy. Isaiah chapter 55. And the verse number 7. "Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts, and let him return unto the Lord. And he will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon." This is the promise of God. This is the word of God, and God is faithful. He cannot be unfaithful to what he has said. When the sinner comes with his deep-dyed sins and says, "Oh God, I'm a sinner, forgive me," God cannot be unfaithful to his promise. He cannot tell that sinner to go away He cannot say, I will not forgive your sins. God is faithful and just to do as he has said, to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I, even I, am he that blotteth out thy sins. The faithfulness of God is the sinner's confidence. There is no sinner in this world too sinful, too wicked, too depraved. There's no sinner in this world, no matter how great their sin may be, who can despair of not receiving God's pardon and God's forgiveness. God is faithful. God is faithful. He's true to his word. And the sinner who will come and confess his sin and turn from it and seek forgiveness and seek cleansing is absolutely assured of pardon and cleansing, because that's what God has said he will do. And God is faithful. He is the faithful God. The faithful God. God desires us to know who he is. He's given us his word to that end. And in his word he says, this is who I am. I'm the faithful God. I will be faithful to my people in the day of their temptation. I will make a way of escape and bring them through. I will preserve them unto heavenly glory. I will vindicate all that is right, and I will rectify all that is wrong. I'm the faithful Creator. And I will forgive and pardon the sinner that repents of his sin and confesses that sin seeking mercy. I will do this because I am the faithful God. Faithful. That's your confidence tonight. That's the confidence that we have as sinners. When we come to him seeking mercy and grace, it's not found in ourselves. Confidence is found in who God is. He's faithful. And he will be faithful to us all the way through life. Even when we are unfaithful to him, God will still be faithful to us. All the way through, he cannot deny himself. He abideth faithful, true to who he is, faithful to his purpose, faithful to his promise. Take this truth tonight and make it your confidence as a sinner. Make it your consolation when you suffer. Make it your comfort when you go through the trials and temptations of life. The faithful God. The faithful God. Let's turn to